KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies and 35 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy here today, a high of 65. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In the news, authorities in Webster County are investigating an apparent double homicide that took place earlier this morning. KCCI in Des Moines reports Fort Dodge police were called to 910 2nd Avenue just after midnight for reports of shots fired. Officers also reported hearing gunshots around the same time the 911 call was made to dispatch. Police say they found two men dead from gunshot wounds in an alleyway. The identities of the victims have not yet been released. Iowa's DCI Criminalistics Laboratory is assisting Fort Dodge investigators. Anyone who may have information or who was in the area at around the time of the shooting is asked to call the Fort Dodge Police Department. Officers say they believe this is an isolated incident between known individuals and there is no immediate threat to the public. The state medical examiner's office will perform autopsies. Well, this is Teen Driver Safety Week, and Iowa leaders suggest parents have a conversation with their teens about the rules of the road. Jeannie Clemens, youth coordinator for the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, says 22 Iowans under the age of 20 were killed in crashes last year.
Any life lost in a motor vehicle crash is too many, so we're doing everything we can to help teens and other drivers remember to drive safely and always wear their seatbelt and obey the laws and obviously not drive distracted.
In 2016, there were nearly 2,300 people killed in crashes involving a teen driver nationwide, and 814 of those killed were the teen drivers. Clemens says alcohol and drugs often play a factor in teen crashes, and the odds are worse if a teen driver has one or more teen passengers.
In 2016, nearly one out of every five teen drivers was involved in a fatality crash. They've actually had been drinking, and that's a sad statistic, and we need to do everything we can to prevent our teens from using alcohol and drugs.
The radio, cell phone, and passengers can all create potentially deadly distractions for teen drivers, and Clemens warns them to pay attention to the task at hand, driving. As she said that in 2016, among teen drivers involved in fatal crashes, 10% were reported as distracted at the time of the crash. Clemens says, we know that our teens are definitely always connected to their phones, but when they're driving, they should be putting those phones down and focusing strictly on their driving. A AAA study found that when a teen driver has only teen passengers in their vehicle, the fatality rate for all people involved in a crash increased 51%. One person suffered what were described as minor, non-incapacitating injuries during a collision Saturday afternoon in Red Oak. Authorities say the accident happened around 2:30 p.m. at the intersection of 2nd and Market Streets. Upon investigation, it was discovered a 2003 Ford F-150 pickup, driven by 84-year-old Daryl Lee Carlson of Red Oak, failed to yield the right-of-way upon leaving the stop sign from Market Street across 2nd Street. The pickup broadsided a 2002 Oldsmobile Alero, driven by 37-year-old Kenneth Franklin Frame of Red Oak. Carlson suffered minor injuries but was able to leave the scene without being transported to the hospital. Damage from the collision amounted to $13,000. Carlson was cited for failure to obey a stop sign and yield the right of way. Red Oak police were assisted at the scene by Red Oak Fire and Rescue and the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. Police in Red Oak say two people were arrested overnight Saturday into early Sunday morning. At around 7:30 p.m. Saturday, 28-year-old Mildred Helenora Douglas of Red Oak was arrested in the 200 block of West Washington Street on a charge of public intoxication and assault on a peace officer. Douglas was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held on a $1,000 bond. Red Oak police were assisted at the scene by deputies with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. And at around 2:40 a.m. Sunday, Red Oak police arrested 28-year-old Nicholas Allen Philby of Red Oak. He was taken into custody at the intersection of Red Oak Boulevard and East Summit Street for OWI second offense and brought to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center, where his bond was set at $2,000. As part of National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, the Council Bluffs Police Department will participate in the semi-annual event that's sponsored by the Drug Enforcement Agency. The event is designated as Council Bluffs Operation Medicine Cabinet and involves the collaboration of several community organizations, volunteers, and the City of Council Bluffs Recycling Center. The Rain or Shine event will be located at Walgreens at 535 East Broadway in Council Bluffs on the west side of the store, near the drive-through pharmacy lanes, and that's this coming Saturday between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Citizens are simply asked to drive through a designated lane, hand over their unused, expired prescription or over-the-counter drugs with no questions asked. The Council Bluffs Police Department has helped to organize 17 prescription drug drop-off events since 2010. To date, the department's Operation Medicine Cabinet events have resulted in 6,050 pounds of miscellaneous pharmaceuticals being collected and over 3,295 individuals participating anonymously. Elsewhere in the news, the City of Atlantic's Personnel and Finance Committee is set to meet 5:30 p.m. today in the Council's chambers at City Hall. On their agenda is consideration of options with regard to a dilapidated property at 301 Maple Street, a service line proposal with Megan Roberts Agency, the Parks and Rec Board recommendation for park facility reservation fees, a temporary full-time position with the Street Department, and consideration of compensation benefits for the fiscal year 2020 budget and union negotiations. Iowa's unusually wet fall has created a unique situation where floodwaters are reaching fields and causing issues regarding what waterfowl hunters can and can't do in those areas. According to federal regulations, hunters are allowed to hunt standing crops or flooded standing crops unless that field has been manipulated. That means the hunters cannot hunt flooded sunflower fields that were mowed as part of the dove season, nor can they knock down or clear standing crops to create an open area for ducks to land. A complete list of the federal baiting regulations is online, and you can find the link to that under the same story on the news or Ag and Outdoor page on KJAN.com. Brad Baker, state conservation officer with the Iowa DNR, says typically these fields aren't flooded, so it's a non-issue, but it's been unusual this year. Baker says it's something that hunters need to be aware of this fall. Iowa duck season opened in the north zone on October 13th. The south duck zone opened on October 20th. That'll be followed by the Missouri River Zone on October 27th. The Iowa Supreme Court has upheld a ruling that throws out speeding tickets issued by state motor vehicle officers. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
Two drivers who were traveling on Interstate 35 in Warren County were given speeding tickets by motor vehicle enforcement officers in separate traffic stops in September of 2016. Both appealed the tickets, saying the motor vehicle officers lacked the authority to issue the tickets. The two cases were combined and the district court ruled in their favor. The Iowa Supreme Court says the motor vehicle officers do have limited authority to enforce violations to the operation, registration, size, weight, and load of motor vehicles and trailers, but are not allowed to write speeding tickets. The Iowa legislature updated that law in 2017, but this ruling will still impact thousands of tickets issued before the change. I'm Dar Danielson.
Simpson College students have staged a protest at the South Central Iowa School over faculty and program cuts that were announced last week. Simpson College President Jay Simmons announced that the college will cut 13 full-time employees, the art department, and French and German majors. Students packed a Kent Campus Center on Friday to voice their anger over those cuts. Some students read a list of demands, including increased faculty representation at future Board of Trustees meetings. The trustees and Simmons were at the meeting at the center during the protests to allow the students to be heard. Simmons says the cuts were made because of low numbers of students majoring in art, French, and German. He says the college leaders plan to hold student forums in the coming weeks. China's propaganda machine has taken aim at American soybean farmers as part of its high-stakes trade war with the Trump administration. The publication last month of a four-page advertising section in the Des Moines Register opened a new battle line in China's effort to break the administration's resolve. U.S. farmers are a key political constituency for Trump, and Beijing has imposed tariffs on American soybeans as retaliation for Trump's tariffs on hundreds of billions of Chinese imports. China regularly disseminates propaganda in the West through its China Daily newspaper to try to influence public opinion in the U.S. and elsewhere. But the advertorial in the Register was unusual for deploying not a national publication in New York or Washington, but a newspaper in the farm state of Iowa. A hospital in North Central Iowa says it's going to stop delivering babies. The Hansen Family Hospital in Iowa Falls announced last week that the doctor who performs most of the deliveries is leaving the hospital, so deliveries will stop November 23rd. The hospital says prenatal care will be provided by Iowa Falls providers, but late pregnancy appointments and deliveries will occur at partnership hospitals in neighboring communities such as Mason City. Hospital CEO Doug Moore says it's difficult to find doctors willing to deliver babies in a rural setting with its attendance malpractice risk and call burdens. He says his hospital is one of eight rural Iowa hospitals stopping deliveries this year. Finally, in state news, a grateful mother is thanking an emergency services dispatcher in eastern Iowa for calmly guiding her husband as he delivered their baby daughter. 27-year-old Kayla Walker gave birth to little Kaylee last week at home with her 29-year-old husband Lee Walker assisting. Kayla Walker said Ben Sharp of the Muscatine County Joint Communications Center knew what to say to her husband and knew how to walk him through it, which was wonderful. The Walkers had been sent home from Trinity Hospital earlier because she was dilating, but not long after they arrived, Kayla Walker began having contractions. Lee Walker called 911 for help, and after 5 minutes on the phone with Sharp, the little girl arrived. Paramedics were soon on the scene to cut the umbilical cord and take mom and baby to the hospital. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.